Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, September 16th.
Bitcoin is trading at 10,910, up 1%, and ETH is at 379, up 2.5%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, first, YFI holders vote to make sure no more tokens are minted.
Yeah, so YFI is famous, I think, for being the first really community-oriented DeFi project. They came out, no pre-mine, no developer allocation. They just started minting tokens for miners, for farmers. What that means is that, like, I would look at this in terms of that you want to have balance. Like, all of cryptocurrency is about incentives. All of these, everything that we've looked at since the beginning of Bitcoin, you know, Satoshi's paper is about incentives more than anything else. And so as you've gone across this, every single project can be looked at, from Ethereum to Zcash to CryptoKitties, can be looked at in terms of incentives. And this is no different. So the problem is that with a project like YFI, I don't know if it's a problem, but with a project like YFI, where the power is all held by the investors, what you're going to find is that the incentives matter and the investors are going to vote in their own best interest. And what that's usually going to mean is limiting supply. You know, you want to, if you have a lot of YFI, you want to limit the inflation of that asset. You want to cap it. So this is an effect to do that. I would say it's somewhat breaking a social contract with people who are farming it. So, you know, there's sort of pros and cons for this move from the perspective of the investors doing it. So on the one hand, they're capping the supply. Each of their individual coins should get more valuable over time, all of that. On the other hand, they are kind of breaking a social contract that they'd had with the farmers and the developers and other people working on it. So you could possibly imagine this will backfire and actually end up decreasing the overall price, just like Ethereum has had issues with trust in their system when they made changes to like their glacier periods and things like that. So I would say that this is super interesting. It is very expected in a coin where all of the power is held by investors, and we'll have to keep an eye on it and see what happens.
All right. Well, that's very exciting. Okay. Next, Kraken becomes the first cryptocurrency exchange to become a U.S. bank.
Yeah. So Kraken is opening up a branch in Cheney, Wyoming. So Wyoming has been very forward looking on cryptocurrency and digital blockchain asset companies. So they have a whole business charter, a way you can structure your company, all this infrastructure they put in place. And recently they created a banking structure that cryptocurrency banks can go after. There's a few caveats. So at a high level, Kraken is going to be offering custodial services for crypto. They'll be offering bank accounts, debit cards, you know, the normal things you would expect from that. I think that there were some open questions around, like, will they have a debit card backed by crypto? Will you be able to trade crypto from your bank? Like, there's open questions I think are still being answered. The other part of this relationship is the charter that they've come under is a particular charter in Wyoming that does not allow fractional reserve lending or fractional reserve holding. So they basically have to hold all of their currency and all of their customers' assets have to be held one-to-one. So we're not probably going to see a lot of loans coming out of them, at least not traditional, although you certainly could imagine them doing, you know, different DeFi financial instruments, but they are sort of constrained. There is, you know, as soon as you do fractional reserve, you have to get FDIC insured. And I don't think the FDIC is necessarily ready for a cryptocurrency bank, let alone, you know, even if Wyoming is dipping their toes in. So it's a great step in the right direction. Wyoming is a very, very small state that has a very, you know, hands-off laissez-faire approach to regulation. So it's not super surprising here. What will be interesting is when other states start to follow, or when you follow suit, or to see what other states do in response to Wyoming having this, if they let Kraken operate in their state or have issues with that.
All right. Well, I think that's exciting too. Okay, next, India plans to introduce a law banning trade in cryptocurrency, placing it out of step with other Asian economies, which have chose to regulate this market.
Yeah, India's been going back and forth over the last few years, just like China. You know, they announce a ban, they get rid of the ban, they announce a ban, they get rid of the ban. A lot of this comes down to, you know, how much people are speculating. I think that when certain states look at their population and see high speculation, and this is certainly this is what happened in China. I think this is what happened in India. And they see sort of high speculation on something. They're going to ban it first and then come back and figure out how to figure out what's legitimate about it later. So they're going to ban first, ask questions later. So that's what's happening here. Some of the numbers for the increase of good trading and speculation on cryptocurrencies in India were crazy. I mean, it was 220% was one of the exchanges over the course of like 3 or 4 months had grown in exchange volume. So obviously, this is obviously a popular instrument in India. People like it, but the government is looking at this. There was a few scams. I mean, there continue to be scam, like with all the DeFi stuff. There's scams here. So if you're looking at this and you try to be the most conservative posture possible, then you're gonna ban it, ask questions later. So I don't know. It's just there are like certain countries that sort of flip-flop back and forth on how they do this. And eventually over the next like 6 to 12 months, they'll probably come back around and it'll go the other way.
All right. Up next, a DeFi index fund is set to offer 10 DeFi tokens in one.
Yeah, DeFi Pulse is teaming up with Set Protocol. So DeFi Pulse, everyone knows, everyone who's in DeFi follows it. So what they're doing is they're basically selecting 10 tokens and doing a market-weighted index fund that you can put money into. It's an active Set is building a set of active portfolio management tools. So they have active trading tools. So you give it money and it'll go out and you give it a trading strategy and it'll go and adhere to that trading strategy. One thing that you're going to see that's an issue already is that obviously anything that's doing active management is going to have a I guess I should start. This is really cool. Like it's nice to have people doing index funds. The idea is to give better exposure to individuals who maybe are not following the ins and outs of the sushi drama every single day and just want to be able to buy one instrument that gets them access to DeFi and gives them exposure to DeFi. So that's a noble cause here. One of the problems of doing active management the way that they're doing it here with trading strategies is that you are essentially taking a hit every time you make a trade. So you're taking a 3.3% hit for every trade. So you obviously have shrinkage off of the index fund. There's probably more clever ways of doing that, but that's sort of one big issue. But it's exciting to see, you know, companies come in. I think the other thing is that from the way I looked at it, there wasn't any governance token. There weren't any farming rewards. This really was just a very simplistic instrument to get access to these funds. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting.
Okay, next, according to CoinGecko, the top yield farming pools by value locked is Pickle Finance.
Pickle, dude, it was overnight. It's just like, it's so quick. It's crazy. This was like the first time I heard about this was, or I think the first time the world heard about this was September 15th. And already it's like one of the top TVLs. Pickle is doing a approach to stable coins that uses their governance tokens as incentive to help balance the stable coin. So one of the issues with the wave of DeFi has not just increased the Ethereum gas prices, but it has also increased the market, the premium that people pay for stable coins. So, you know, stable coins theoretically are pegged to a particular dollar amount, but at the end of the day, market dynamics apply to them like anything else. So if everyone is trying to buy a stable coin in order to go farming, then the price of the stable coin is going to go up. So stable coins have been trading, you know, so anywhere between 1% to 5% above value. So Pickle is doing a model that's essentially using their governance token and rewards to try to keep stable coins at a more stable posture. So as the coin moves away, you can farm or stake one way or the other, get rewarded more for helping move the pool one way or the other to keep the stable coin at the peg itself. And the way that they were doing it was with massive amounts of, I don't even know. I mean, I think what's so interesting about this is I don't even know if people care about the protocols on this or they just care about the APY. Because they were doing, you know, when these protocols launch, what they tend to do is they tend to have really, really, really high introductory APYs, like just like credit cards, except you get rewarded instead of punished. So they start really high and then come down. So I don't even even know people care about the protocol, or they just see these ridiculously high rewards for the governance tokens. The governance tokens going way up, so they jump onto it and then ride the train until it's done. So, but it is an interesting idea for governance for a protocol.
All right, well, that'll do it for today. As always, thank you so much for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right, take it easy.